James Harden going to sign their extension.
His trade value is not there. And when you hear reports...
Phil has been paid $16 million of his $33 million salary.
I know about people that have certain clauses
what
in their contract.
What happens next year with Giannis Antetokounmpo? He will be eligible for a Supermax next summer. If he re-signs a new reality, the players are going to move around. And the players are not going to want to spend their whole, you know, life...
And because they didn't want to go into the penalty of the luxury tax, they traded James Harden. Somebody's going to be making $50 million a year.
He probably could have made a little bit more money this summer in free agency.
I think he could have got a lot more in the offseason. When you got a chance to secure the bag,
you got to secure it.
No question.
What's going on, party people? I am your host, Stephen Bagel, and welcome back to another episode of the Bird Rights Podcast. With me today, I have a very special guest, someone who I've been... You know, we haven't really been able to coordinate our schedules properly, but we've been trying to collab this entire year, trying to get him on a pod. So that is his name. Excuse me. His name is Chris LeBron of the Off Ball Network. You could follow him on Twitter at Off the Ball Pod or at Real LeBron 89. Obviously, I will let you plug all your stuff after the conclusion of this episode, Chris. But first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Steven, brother. It's a pleasure to be on. Like I said, we've been trying to make this happen for a little bit, and then finally our schedules aligned perfectly, and we here. I'm excited to hop on and talk ball, brother.
So I wanted to have you on, but I didn't quite know exactly the topics we should talk about. So obviously you are a New York Knicks guy, and I said, okay, well, you know what? The Knicks are up-and-coming fun team. I know we said this 2 years ago, and back... Then when they got the four seed and Tibbs won coach of the year and they ended up losing round one and the Hawks beat my Sixers in the next round anyway, I felt like after that season concluded going to next year, I said, you know what? That was a little fluky. I don't know if I believe with Julius Randle, you know, if that was sustainable, essentially. I just didn't think that team. And then, you know, they basically ran it back and added Evan Fournier at that point. They added Fournier. They re-signed Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks. And I just didn't think... I remember when I did my offseason grades, I said I did not like what the Knicks did because, again, I didn't think it was sustainable. Now I feel like this team, obviously, RJ Barrett took a step forward. Emmanuel quickly took a step forward. We're going to get into Jalen Brunson. But, you know, Julius Randle might be having a better year this year than that All-NBA second-year team that he had. Definitely. So, obviously, you know, I do think now they have Josh Hart. We're going to get into all that, but I don't know. I just feel like this Knicks team is a lot more. I know I keep saying the word sustainable, but I do think they are, you know, here to stay at this point. So what's the overall sentiment among Knicks fans right now?
All of us, the Knicks fans are definitely a different breed of fans. Like,
yeah,
it's every day is a new feeling. Like, we won 9 in a row, then we lost to Charlotte and you would have thought the world just ended. Like, it's like, all right, it happens. You know, you lose, you know, guys are tired, you know, Charlotte just, you know, just caught us on the wrong night. But I think and then you compared it to 2 years ago when they were the four seed and all that. I think the fans are more confident with this team than they were in 2020. I feel like 2020 was kind of a huge, like, we definitely overachieved. And I don't think we were as good as the seeding said. You know, I don't think we were the four seed, like a true four seed and all that. Where this year, I feel like, I think we're a lot better. Randle's a lot better. In addition to Brunson, is obviously, like, I don't think anyone, I think we knew Brunson was going to come to this team and make us better. I don't think anyone thought that this guy could be in maybe an all-NBA type of guard, right?
And he might be.
And he should have been an all-star. And I don't think people thought he was going to make the impact. I think maybe 19 points a game, six around there. He's 23, 24 points a game. Like, I don't think anyone expected. I know I did it. You know, I had this team around 38 to 42 wins and all that. And, you know, that definitely exceeding that. And Randle taking another step forward in his game, I don't think people thought that and all that. And just some good pieces and all that. But I think the mood is good right now. You know, obviously they lost last night to Miami. But, you know, I think the feeling is good. Is that this team is going in the right direction. They have all their picks. They have a surplus of picks, man, like endless, like, so. And I remember, I think I heard someone, I forgot who was talking on a podcast I was listening to, they're like, they can make a couple moves and still have some things mm-hmm. over. So like they're in a good spot if they make the right decisions and all that. So I think the feeling is good. I think, it would suck losing early, but I still feel like the future is a lot brighter than maybe we thought maybe this offseason. So I think Knicks fans overall, I think we tend to overreact a bit, but I think overall, I think that the feeling is really good, especially for the future.
Yeah. And again, I know back in, 2021, I guess, when they were the four seed and lost to the Hawks in round one. Mm-hmm. It might be reminiscent that you guys lose again in round one, but I don't think it would be because of the Knicks being a fluky playoff contender. I just think, there's four really good teams in the East. Mm-hmm. I think there's a tier of three. Then Cleveland might be in a tier by themselves. Maybe you're the Knicks guy. Maybe you can convince me that the Knicks and Cleveland are in that same tier together.
Yeah,
but either way, there's three legitimate title contenders in the East. Cleveland mm-hmm. has the best defensive rating. I know they gave up the least points per game in the whole NBA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the East is just, it seems like they're starting, the tables are starting to turn. All the years the East had the top lottery picks because the West was so much better. It seems like, for the second or third year in a row, the East is starting to be the better conference.
Yeah, especially up top. I mean, like you just mentioned, there's three teams that could legit win a championship.
And
like,
I think those are probably the three best teams in the league right now.
I agree. And I had Philly coming out of the East and going to the finals. I just thought they were going to figure it out. I know they had early season struggles and all that, but I knew they would figure it out. Embiid's been relatively healthy. Harden's been good. Maxey's been good. They've been good on both sides. So, I agree. I think those three teams are in a tier alone. Then you could probably say Cleveland and the Knicks are kind of like right, next to each other, right? You could say maybe Cleveland's a little bit better because they have, they have a guy who's seen done it in the playoffs and all that in Mitchell. So, and then they just have a great team around him defensively too. They got those two big guys, with Mobley, and company. So like, They probably maybe a little bit better than Knicks, but like, if you had them in the same tier, I wouldn't, but the East is fun this year. And I think it's finally gotten back to where the Eastern Conference is fun. It used to be so West. It's all Western Conference. The East is showing, hey, we here and all that. So that's good because the West is all over the place.
Yeah.
The West is crazy.
And we're going to get into that because I do want to, go over. It's almost April. So obviously it's playoff time. So we're going to, give 2 minutes, maybe every series, just run down. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll do it as projected standings based off what it is now. And then, what matchups we're excited to see, everything like that. So I just don't want to spoil that real quick. It's funny that you mentioned Donovan Mitchell and you also mentioned the surplus of picks that the Knicks have. So as everyone knows, I'm a front office guy. I am a salary cap guy. Mm-hmm. You guys know I just did my mock trade deadline. That was a huge success this year. I do my mock off season as well. When I did my mock off season, I guaranteed to my listeners, to my followers, Donovan Mitchell's going to be a Knick. It just makes too much sense. They had all the picks. He's from New York. They need a star so bad. They've been trying to get like that star. Maybe they have Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson now, so maybe they don't need that guy. But at the time, we thought, okay, yes, that's what they needed.
I think he thought he was going to be a Knick. He thought he was going to be a Knick.
Yeah. So just what – I guess my question is, was there a sense of disappointment when he went to Cleveland's? Or because I know you guys got Brunson – within that same like time frame, I'm blanking on which one came first.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys obviously hire Rick Brunson. Jalen Brunson doesn't even really consider going back to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He comes here, and honestly, both of them, Mitchell and Brunson, have cases for All NBA. Mitchell will definitely make an All NBA team, but Brunson very well could make All NBA third team himself. So I mean, what? Was there a sense of disappointment essentially when you got Donovan Mitchell or when you did when he went to Cleveland is what
I think there definitely was because we were told that this was done. This is gonna happen.
By people like me. I said it was a lot.
Everyone's saying it's gonna happen. It's just a matter of when. And we're like, all right, Donovan Mitchell's gonna mean. And I remember listening, I forgot what podcast he was on, but he said, it was a Knick.
Yeah.
I went to bed thinking I'm gonna be a New York Knick.
Yeah.
So like it was going to happen. So like, and then you're just trying to figure, okay, how is he going to work with Randall and all that? And all, and how is that going to, you know, with RJ and all that, you know, but no, RJ would have went in the deal actually. And just how he would fit in the team and all that. So it was just, you know, you're just thinking, all right, we got a proven scorer. Like, he's from here and all that. We're just trying to figure out the backcourt stuff and all that with him and Brunson and all. I was like, okay, like, you know, this is going to be interesting. And then you hear that Cleveland. And I always thought there's always a team that we're not hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a team.
Always.
And always a team. And I didn't say it in any shows, but I was always like, Cleveland, if they feel like they can go for it, they should make a power move like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. They did it. And I don't know what happened in negotiations. I don't know if it was because the whole situation with the Knicks going to Utah in the playoff. I don't know what happened, but the bag was fumbled at that point. And, you know, it wound up just being Jalen Brunson. And then they moved out the 11th pick in the draft. So I think that was a little disappointing for some fans, you know, because we didn't, I know not fans initially with when we got Brunson, it was like, okay, we don't know. Like, is he going to be better with the ball in his hand more? Because we know it's easy, you know, because you look at his on off stats with Luka, he was good when Luka was off the court, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he looked like what he kind of looked like now with the Knicks, but it was like, all right, now we're going to see it in a bigger, you know, and you're getting paid more. So like, is that going to, and obviously he's done a great job, but you know, yeah, it was disappointing at first, but then you're just like, all right, you know, he's not here and all that. Let's just hope we don't see him in the playoffs. And they be, because you know, because right now, obviously the seeding, we'll mm-hmm. see him in the playoffs, and you know, what's going to happen, especially in New York. If he drops 40 on us every game, we're out in five. They're going to revisit that and be like, mm-hmm. well, that was the difference. They had Mitchell, you don't, and we're home in that. So, at first, disappointment, you know, then, like, I didn't like that they didn't draft someone with the 11th pick. I punted, like, out of the first round, not even moved down. They just punted. And I felt like they should have moved up to get, you know, like a Dyson Daniels or something, but they wound up not doing it. But, you know, so far it's been good. But ultimate test is in the playoffs. You know that. And especially now you're going to go against that person that you could have had on your team. Like, it's going to show a lot of how – you know, maybe they just should have just, because it feels like I think that this was the Knicks of 10 years ago, Mitchell's a Knick.
Yeah.
No doubt he's a Knick. If this was not 5 years ago, he's a New York Knick, like 100%. They would have traded everything for him. But, you know, they kind of just, I don't know if it was whatever happened with them in Utah and Danny Ainge, is he asking for too much? Or they just felt like, let's just wait. And maybe someone else, maybe bigger and better, comes along the way. So, you know, right now we're cool. We're cool. I think most fans are cool right now, but playoff time is a different animal. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And it's the aspect that, as I know we just talked about, if the surplus of picks, I mean, the Knicks could have outbid anybody they wanted to.
They had it.
Between RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin and quickly, if you need to package them.
And Grimes.
In addition, and Grimes was, oh, he was the untouchable one, not Barrett.
I never understood that. To me, that's true. That was, I don't know how much I would believe that, but that's kind of crazy to say a guy, a second year player who was a, you know, late first round pick is untouchable. Now, I love his game and all that. I think he fits in and he has potential to be a really solid player, but to say he was untouchable, that was a little crazy, you know. Like, I remember a lot of people were like, I remember, you know, putting RJ in a lot of deals, and people were coming at me like, why would you trade RJ? I was like, it's like, I don't know if they even believe that RJ can be that guy. You know, why would they go after Brunson and all that? Like, so why not get a proven guy who's 25, 26 that we know can get you 25 a game and can close out, you know, rather than wait for RJ to develop in three more years and maybe be maybe an all-star. You know, why not just get the guy who is an all-star and then we figure it out with Randall and Brunson, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and people are like, no, why would you? I was like, yeah, and then maybe that cuts off how much picks we give up, you know, and all that, but people didn't want that. But then, you know, that's what I was just, I was like, Grimes untouchable? That's crazy. He can't be untouchable. You could find Grimes in the draft, especially late in there. Like, it's not, he should not have been touched. I don't know how much I believe that, but if that stopped the trade, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's wild. if that's not the trade. I don't believe that, but if that's not the trade, man, that's ridiculous.
So I don't actually, I do have it in front of me, the surplus of picks we keep referring to, because as everyone knows, the Stapien rule, you could only trade up to four picks and then three swaps, and you can't trade consecutive years. So, and you can only trade 7 years out. That's where the four comes from.
Yeah.
So the Knicks are actually at a point where they traded the Dallas first that they own. No, they traded their own.
They have the Dallas pick. So right now, a lot of Knicks, we're rooting for Dallas to keep fumbling. But it's top 10 protected.
Yeah, so they can't fumble too much.
Not too much. So just, you know, pay in the middle, you know. But yeah, they don't want that complete collapse. But yeah, we want them to struggle because at least we can get potentially a nice pick.
So you have the Dallas pick in 23. So this year, likely not going to be top 10. Yeah. So
the Knicks pick went with the Josh Hart deal.
Yep. That's it. I just mixed the two up because they were the So, and then you have Detroit first, which is basically at least top nine protected until 2027. So, hopefully, eventually, Cade Cunningham is healthy and they have Jaden Ivey. They'll be in the playoffs before 27. So, you could trade that as a legitimate first. And then you have Washington's first. Let's see. Top 10 protected in 25. Top 8 protected in 26. Washington, I don't know if you're going to get. Just because that
No, we're not getting that.
They might not be in the playoffs in the next 4 years. But aside from that, you have all your own picks. And you have a Milwaukee 25. That's, only top four protected. So you'll likely convey that.
We'll probably get that pick. Yeah, most likely.
So I'm just prefacing this to say, that's at least seven first round picks that you can trade. That doesn't include swaps. Maybe eight if someone believes in Washington and wants to trade for that and consider that a legitimate value on top of
And some expiring contracts too.
Yep. And Evan Fournier, hey, we'll give you all these picks. You're rebuilding anyway. You're in your cap space. Take his $18 million a year.
Exactly.
Just a salary match for a guy. Mm-hmm. And, hey, I hate to say it because I love this guy. I still believe in him. But, hey, let's throw an Obi Toppin because he's never going to develop as long as Tibbs is the coach and Julius Randle's a star here.
Yeah. He's not playing. So it's just – you might as well just try to give him up and all that.
But not Quentin Grimes. That's where I draw the line.
No, you're not even for LeBron James or Kevin Durant. You can't do that. I still can't believe that was a thing.
Basically what I did, again, because this is a front office podcast, I didn't want to get ahead of myself on the offseason acquisitions, but I made a list of a few guys I would really like the Knicks to go after either this summer, either via trade or via free agency.
Okay.
The first one is kind of two guys, and one of them, there was actually rumors about you guys trying to acquire him at the deadline. So I put Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan on here. Now, Zach LaVine, it came around maybe 1 o'clock the day of the trade deadline, 1 o'clock Eastern time at least, where, the Knicks are making a push for Zach LaVine. There was a point where I thought it was going to happen. It wasn't like a Mitchell, it was like a lock. But I said, okay, it makes sense just because how much the Knicks have and the position they're in, that if they could form, a quasi-big three with LaVine, Brunson, and Randall, that's a fun team.
It's a fun team, but is it
can't play defense.
Not going to be a lot of defense. And a lot of guys who need the ball in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with LaVine. So that's where I was like, no, I'm not for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think LaVine is a great player. I think he's... especially after the ACL he had a few years ago, he's played great. And I think if they had Lonzo Ball in Chicago, I think the Bulls were a completely different team and all that, because you're not reliant on LaVine trying to be a playmaker, being that second tier playmaker right now with DeRozan and all that, because they don't have a point guard, with no Lonzo. I think they would have been a lot better straight, but I was not for it. And then when I heard it, I was like, oh no. I even said it when I was on a few shows, like, I'm not with it, especially for how much you would have to give up, because he's still in his prime and he's got a huge cap number too. So you're paying for three guys that are ball dominant to be, a six seed. It's expensive.
Yeah.
You got IQ, that's going to be, going to want to get paid, and that number is going to be high, and it's just risen ever since, the All-Star break and all that. So I was not for that.
What about an OG Anunoby? Could I preface you on him?
See, that I would have been more for than because of the defense. And there's offensive upside, too, that we haven't seen yet because there's so many guys there, Pascal and Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent. So there's offensive upside there that I think we haven't seen yet. But you know you're getting the defense right away. Mm-hmm. So I think that would have been a better fit for New York than a Zach. I think Zach LaVine, the name and all that, is exciting. Guy, he averages 25 and all. But OG maybe would have been a better fit if that was the way they're going to go. I would probably prefer them to go the OG way and all that. And that's still something they maybe try to go after in the offseason. You know, we'll see. It all depends on the playoffs. Everything goes on the playoffs and we'll see how they go. But that was a move I was more privy to than the Zach LaVine potential deal.
So then the next group of guys I have on this list are basically big men, because I don't know if it's the health or I'm not sold on Mitch Robinson. Now, Mitch Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein as a tandem, I like significantly more.
Yes.
But this is why, again, as a Sixers fan, I do believe they could win the championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
But when people ask me what's been their biggest flaw, I said it's no knock on Embiid. He's a great player. But it's just so difficult in today's NBA. I know Giannis did it, but it's so tough to win a championship around a big man as your main focal point. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the last five title contenders. Rick Lopez, and they beat DeAndre Ayton when the Bucks won it. When Golden State won all of them, it was Kevon Looney. When Toronto won it, it was Marc Gasol. That's probably the best example. But again, he wasn't the main focal point.
Yeah, he was older, too.
He was just a defensive anchor.
He was an older player,
And then those the Lakers team had Dwight Howell, JaVale McGee. That Cavs team had Tristan Thompson. I just preface that to say, wing depth is so important. I say it every episode. I sound like a broken record.
Yeah.
Then you need guards, and center is the least important thing.
I agree.
Joel Embiid's going to hopefully win MVP. Nikola Jokic has won the last two, and Giannis won the last two before that. Mm-hmm. They're all big men.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, not malpractice wouldn't be the right word, but I don't think they should have paid Mitch Robinson $15 million a year, especially when you knew you'd get in Hardenstein for $7 million a year. Or $8 million, whatever he's making.
Yeah. I guess I know too.
I like the tandem, but you're still now investing $23 million in the position for it to basically be replacement level. That's my issue with it.
Yeah, and you know, I think they kind of felt like they forced their way to having to give Mitchell that deal because they did get Hardenstein and all that, but imagine Hardenstein and Jericho Sims right now just being your bigs.
That's not, it's
solid. But they got forced into doing that, and then, like, I wasn't crazy because I feel like you can find Mitch's and all that. Like, you know, he's played great. He's a very important piece to this team and all that. But you know, I would have been more privy to I think we could find some pieces that would be better long term and all that, because they might be regretting this. And there's kind of some little things he does that kind of makes it feel like he's not totally happy with his role, as far as just being, just any the only things he gets is either alley oops or just whatever, offensive rebounds and putbacks.
I would like a Christian Wood. He's not perfect, and then you have the defensive issues where Robinson alleviates that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, a guy who could do more with the ball in his. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good passing I feel like we need bigs today, like that can know how to pass out of double team. Like, not that he's getting double teamed, but you need bigs who can know how to pass out of the post and all that. It feels like that's the way you want your bigs to be, and he's gonna struggle late in stretches and all that. So I think he's not the passer and all that but like I said, there's little things like he's done on social media and all that that's makes him feel like doesn't like the role he has on the team. He wants to do more and all that. But, so that's a little weird situation that's going on right now with the Knicks. That's going to be interesting to see how they handle that in the offseason. Like I said, they just paid him. So I don't know what they can do and how many teams, I'm sure there's some teams that would like a big man like that. But I don't know if that's something that they're even thinking about. you know, try to move him and all that. But there could be something there because he's had some signs that he's not happy with his role.
Yeah, I think they might have signed him with the intent, hey, we will be able to move this contract down the line.
It's a flexible deal, too. It's not a crazy deal saying. Either. Yeah, it's. I think it's I'm looking at it right now. It's 17, 15, 14. Yeah. So, you know, it's not a big contract that a team's like, oh, this is too much. And, you know, so it's a flexible deal that you could probably get off if you wanted to, especially if he's unhappy. You know, I think he could flip that pretty easily. He's still a prime and he can contribute to a team and all that. Just the health thing is the biggest thing. Like,
yeah. So I have two more guys on my list and then we're going to talk playoffs real quick. It's a group of, I guess, small wings slash they're not quite point guards, but they're not quite. I don't know how to categorize them.
Yeah, no, I got you.
When you guys got Josh Hart, basically everyone said this is a Tibbs player, like to the T.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, who kind of fits in that similar role? I landed on two guys that are both likely free agents this year. They both have player options. I assume they both opt out.
Yeah.
Bruce Brown and Dante DiVincenzo.
I like those guys, but I think since they have a guy who's similar to those type of players in Hart, and we've already seen his impact on a team, that they would, even though if we didn't have Hart, I would think going after one of those guys would be perfect. And like Brooklyn probably regrets, especially when they had KD and Kyrie, that they let Bruce because he was able to just do everything. And you see DiVincenzo, you know, his impact he had in Milwaukee and what he's doing right now with the Warriors, especially with, you know, Gary Payton out, you know, and their defense kind of struggling. He's helped that. You know, so players like that are very important. And I've seen what Josh Hart's doing. So I think because Josh Hart has a player option, he's probably going to opt out.
Yeah.
I think it's – I forgot his number right now, but he's going to probably want –
He'll opt out and probably get like – 4 for 64. That's about 60.
It's between, I think, what the max is like 60. So I think between 58 and 60 is the number. I'm sure the Knicks will probably want it around 55 or 44. But I think, like I said, it all depends what happens in the playoffs and its impact. If we see the impact in the playoffs, you know, that number might even go up more. But that 4 for 60 is what I'm seeing right now from a lot of people. That's what he'll probably ask for, you know, because he wants the more money, you know, down the line. And he wants the security. You know, you hear he wasn't happy in Portland, not because of the team, but living wise, he's an East Coast guy. And I feel like, he would be, having him here for, the next 3 to 4 years would be good, but we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But I think those are good options. Those are really good players. I feel like we fit perfectly in New York, but I feel like we have that guy already and we've already seen what he's done with this team and his impact. So I think they would probably just probably re-sign Hart if that's the case.
Yeah, but hey, maybe one or more of those guys might not be a bad thing either.
Hey, DiVincenzo would be good. That would be good. He's someone that just does the little things just good. And Bruce Brown too. Bruce Brown. You need guys like that in the league, man. Like they're not sexy and all that, but they do the little things, the dirty work. You know, set screens. You know, defend the best perimeter players and all that. Do the little. I mean, guy like Josh Hart's averaging like 8 rebounds. He shouldn't be averaging 8 rebounds a game. You know, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's averaging 8 rebounds a game, and you just like, you just need guys like that. And luckily, we have him. And we'll see what happens and how his impact is in the playoffs and all that. But I think most likely, if everything goes the way it's been going, he'll be back as a Knick.
Okay, let's go to the final segment here. And I would be remiss if we didn't have any playoff talk because it's that time of year. It's been about 72 to 74 games played for every team. So we have about another week and a half, 2 weeks. The play-in tournaments, I believe, start April 11th. And then playoffs start April 15th. So we're a couple weeks away. So I'm just going to give the standings as is. And basically, we're going to, try to get predictions, how many games each team wins in. And, we'll go through every series.
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm just going to read the first six in the East. And then the bottom four in the play-in will say who, wins each play-in game to determine each seed, and they'll go from there. So we have Milwaukee 1, Boston 2, Philly 3, as we talked about. Cleveland 4, Knicks 5. Right now, Brooklyn and the Heat are tied, but Brooklyn has a better winning percentage. Right now, they're 6, so that's what we'll roll with. So then the play-in tournament. You have Miami, who's the 7, and Atlanta's the 8. Who would you think would win that game?
Heat versus Atlanta right now, I'm going with Miami.
I am too. I just think as much as I like Quinn Snyder, I just think Spoelstra's going to get those guys to play, and Atlanta's been inconsistent.
Yeah. And so, I think you're Atlanta, you don't want to win this. I think you want to go in an offseason, get in the lottery, and figure out, you know, you got Quinn there, you know, figure out what's the plan going forward, because this team is too talented to be 36 and 37.
Yep, I agree. And then Toronto and Chicago, the 9 and 10. I think Chicago's Toronto, a dumpster fire. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I think if you're Chicago, you don't want to win. You don't want to get in, you don't want to be playing for the 8 seed. You want to go into the lottery and all that. I don't think you want to.
And they'll pick what? It's top. They'll pick the Orlando's, I think, top
four. Oh, they don't even have it. It's Orlando.
It's top four. About that. So they want the lottery because then they could,
I think they don't even want to think about winning this game. So, they want a chance. You want a chance to get Wemby. Everybody wants a shot.
Scoot Henderson's a hell of a consolation prize as well. Okay, so then the game for the 8 seed, Atlanta and Toronto.
Toronto.
I agree. I just think same thing as Miami. They're well coached, disciplined. Yeah. I just think they'll come up for a game like that, win both games, and get in.
And getting Jakob Poeltl meant they were going for it, because I think most of us assumed they were going to be sellers at the deadline. Yeah. I'll tell you, heard Gary Trent's on the deadline. Fred VanVleet, Anunoby was the number one. Like, we thought he was gone. And all that. And even like there was some rumblings of Siakam maybe so we thought there was gonna be a fire sale. And then we hear they just traded for Jakob Poeltl
traded the first round pick next year.
Oh, they're going for it. Like, they think they can, they think they have a shot, even though they've struggled of late and all that, but they think they have a shot. So, I mean, respect to them for thinking they have it. And, you know, they will be a tough 8 seed though.
Let's talk about that. Milwaukee versus Toronto in a 1-8 series. Milwaukee in 5?
I would give Milwaukee in 5, but it's going to be tough, though. It might be a 5-game series, but simply because Toronto on paper is not really an 8 seed, you know? So it's like this team is better than what we've seen, and they've struggled and all that, but, you know, they got size and all that with Jakob and all that. So, yeah, they got the players, you know, to do it, but Milwaukee is just a machine right now, especially with Middleton back. It would be tough for Toronto, just what we've seen from Toronto this year, but it would be a tough 5-game series for Milwaukee.
So then the next one I have is Boston and Miami, which is a bloodbath. And as a Sixers fan, as I said, the Nets and Heat are tied right now for 6 and 7. I am praying the Nets could hold off Miami and get the 6. Because as a Sixers fan, we're going to have to go Boston, then Milwaukee, then Western Conference champion. I don't want to have to face Miami in the first round. They're just going to wear you down if they don't beat you as good as the Sixers are. So Boston, Miami, I'm going to go Boston probably in 6. Miami still scares me enough. Yeah. I think they pull off 2.
I go Boston, even though Boston has struggled of late and everything going on with Jaylen Brown, his situation. You know, and Tatum hasn't looked like the MVP Tatum that we saw early in the season. But I think they have enough to beat Miami. Miami still struggles scoring the basketball. You know, Jimmy Butler can win you a game or two, you know, but the inconsistencies of, you know, the scoring wise, and what you're going to get from Kyle Lowry, you need poor guard play and someone else to step up. You know, Bam's not a scorer and all that, but you're going to need him to do more, and Tyler Hero and all that. But I think Boston has too much firepower for them, and I think Boston takes care of business in 6.
Okay, I agree with that one. Then we have Sixers and Nets. Yeah, I'm a little biased here. I'm probably going to say Sixers and 5 because I just don't think Nets going to be able to score. But you think a sweep? Okay.
Sweep, yeah.
Good. That's what we need if we have to, you know, play Boston round 2.
That's a sweep. Yeah.
Okay. Then Cleveland and Knicks as the 4-5 matchup.
Cleveland and the Knicks. This might be the series.
I want to hear your answer before I give mine.
There's two ways of thinking about it. It's my heart and my gut. My heart says Knicks in 7. I put him on the spot. I think Cleveland, because of those two big men and all that, and I think they can neutralize some of what the Knicks do with Randall and all that, and a lot of the pick and roll with Brunson and all that. You know, Brunson relies on that mid range. I think Mobley and Allen will beat a lot. And they have the firepower with their guards. I know they struggle off the bench. They don't really have a lot of bench depth, so the Knicks will have to figure out, you know, just how to to be up and attack their second. Our second unit's really good with Quickly, you know, and Hart and all that. So, but I think Cleveland's seven.
I was going to say, I like Cleveland seven. I think it's going to be a hell
of a simply because home court. They got the home court advantage. If this was the other way around, if the Knicks four were the four seed, I would say. But the Knicks,
I think I would agree with that.
I think the Knicks game seven at the Garden would be special. I think they would win, but and it doesn't look like the Knicks are gonna. They could, but they're too far back right now. You know, a little struggling the last 10 games. That Cleveland's playing solid, so but Cleveland in seven.
So let's finish up the East before we move over to the West. We have Milwaukee and then Cleveland in the semis. Milwaukee and
Cleveland in the semis. Give me Milwaukee.
Milwaukee in how many games?
Milwaukee in six.
Six, okay. I was going to say five or six. I'm on the fence. Yeah. But either way. Boston and Philly.
That's
going to be a hell of a series. And Boston has had the upper hand on the Sixers year after year after year. So is this the year the Sixers could finally break through?
I think it is.
I think it is, too. I hate that everyone's saying it, but I think it is.
I think it is. I had them going, like I said, I had them going to the finals. I'm going to stick with my pick. Boston seems like, you know, Marcus Smart's not shooting the ball well. Like he's someone he's a great player and all that, but it's hard to trust him with the ball in his hands. And they got to figure out that point guard. Brogdon should be starting and all that. They need that. Definitely don't want to see him in crunch time, Marcus Smart. But Tatum hasn't shot the ball well of late. The Brown, I think the Sixers are destined. I think Embiid, he wants that MVP too. Mm-hmm. Like he wants the MVP, and this is Harden. This is going to be on Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harden is. This is the year of Harden, because yes, we know about Joel. No, this is the year of Harden, and I think he takes over. I think he dominates their guards, and I think that's enough to get past them and a seven game series.
I want to say 7-2, but I just can't picture the Sixers winning Game Seven in Boston. But
they're only a half game back. They're only a half game back.
Yep. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Sixers have a gauntlet of a final 10 games, though, but we'll see. Okay, then Eastern Conference Finals, we have the Bucks and the Sixers. I want to say same thing, Sixers and seven. It's just going to be so hard to win a Game 7 in Milwaukee.
It is going to be tough. It is going to be tough, but I'm going to go Philly.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go Philly all the way. I'm going to stick with my pick. I'm going to stick with my pick and go with Philly. And okay. I think James Harden has – He gets a lot of slander, especially going to playoff time. I think this is the year he puts it together and has the run, and people get to appreciate what, you know, the James Harden. And I think he has, you know, his best playoff run. And I truly believe that. So I'm going to go Philly.
Okay. So then let's go through the West quickly. Same thing. Mm-hmm. 1-6. You have Denver 1, Memphis 2, Sacramento 3, Phoenix 4, Clippers 5, Golden State 6. Play-in game for the 7th seed, Minnesota versus OKC. Who you got?
Minnesota versus OKC. It all depends on the health of Minnesota.
Yeah, I know Cat's back, but now Anthony Edwards is out.
But even if they just have Cat, let's just say there's Anthony Edwards is out. I think Minnesota has, you know, it's at their crib.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go Minnesota. If this is in OKC, I would maybe go with them, but I'm going to go Minnesota.
OKC, I just think, you know, the inexperience and just being how young they are. And Minnesota, we saw beat the Clippers last year to get the seventh seed in last year's play-in.
Yeah.
Then number 9, Dallas, number 10, Lakers. That's a hell of a game for a 9-10 matchup.
That might be the best 9-10 matchup ever.
I want to say Lakers just because Dallas can't play defense.
This was their problem even before they got Kyrie.
And then they traded Finney Smith.
They needed someone else with Luka and all. I didn't like the roster construction even in the offseason. And I feel like they're kind of stuck. And when you have Luka, you can't be stuck. But in this 9-10 game, defense is optional. It's going to be a shootout. I would go Dallas.
Would you have Dallas beating OKC? That game would be in OKC.
Yeah, Yeah, okay. I would have Dallas.
And then I would have the Lakers beating Dallas and the Lakers beating
Dallas beating Minnesota. I would have Dallas beating Minnesota. I had Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota over. Would already be in as a 7 seed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. They did the 8. Yeah, you're right. No. Yeah, I would have Dallas beating. Yep.
Okay.
That, yeah.
So I have Denver and the Lakers as a 1-8. You have Denver and Dallas.
Yeah.
I'll say Denver in 6.
Denver in 6.
And you would have, again, the Mavs.
Yeah.
Denver against Dallas.
Denver and 6.
Okay.
Denver and 6.
And this West is just so combobulated together that, like, every series, I feel like it's going to go to 6.
There's so many potential compelling matches because, like, the 4 or 5 could be the conference finals. You know, it is so many compelling matchups. You know, and like I said, we're going to have a Lakers, Mavericks. One of them is not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be crazy. But yeah. And Denver's defense has been leaky of late. They haven't looked, you know, they were like a solid defense early on, and then it's really fallen off. So I think Dallas can sneak some wins in, even the Lakers, regardless of who them, you know, either team I think can win a game or two simply because Denver's defense just doesn't show up. But yeah, I think Denver, because of home court advantage, and they just, you know, they have the camaraderie together. They don't lose at home. So I think simply off that, they'll have enough to win in 6.
Okay, Memphis and Minnesota.
Memphis and Minnesota. I'm going with Memphis. I know there's a lot going on in Memphis.
I agree. Memphis in 5, 6.
Memphis. If Adams is back, they need Adams.
Adams got played off the floor in the playoffs last year, though, so I don't know.
They need some size.
But they do need size against Minnesota, I agree.
Yeah, you need
that
size.
That series works out well.
Against Rudy and just to have bodies against Rudy and Kat. So I would go Memphis in... Because if they have Ant Edwards, it's going to be a tough series.
I'm saying 6.
I would Memphis go 6. I go Memphis in 6. Yeah, I feel comfortable with that.
Sacramento breaking a 16-year playoff drought. Has to go against the defending champion, Golden State Warriors.
Oh, man.
I'm going Golden State in 6.
I'm going to go Golden State. If this was the other way around, I would maybe even think maybe a 5-game series. But Golden State.
Can't win on the road.
It's one of the most weirdest things that you see. Because if I tell you 9-29 for a team in the playoffs, you'd be like, what? Like, that's more for, like, the bottom. Like, the Rockets and the Spurs and the bottom tier teams that Detroit. Those are the teams that
they have the same. Never mind. They have the same road.
The Hornets have a better road record than them. Yep. And the Hornets are a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's just, especially for it's odd that a team with this much veteran leadership and they've been around the block 4 championships, how many 6 finals appearances and all that, that they're this bad on the road. It's kind of wild.
But they got it. They win those 3 home games. If they win in 6, they got to win 1 in Sacramento.
But they're going against a team, and they're going against a team that hasn't been there, and all that. And I think that they are the better team. Experience, Sacramento's played good though, yeah. And I think going to Sacramento, it will be tough going to Sacramento. And this could go. You know what? I'm gonna go. Oh man, because if it goes 7, man, Sacramento could win, but.
If it goes 7, Sacramento's winning.
Sacramento's
That's why
winning. Going to 6. I'll say Golden State in 6. Simply because they have Steph and Clay.
Now, 4 and 5, I think these are the 2 best teams in the West. Phoenix, I'm assuming KD will be back.
Yes,
and the Clippers, I'm hoping Paul George would be back.
That's the thing. We need to know what's up with Paul George.
So let's just assume full health. I'm going Cleveland. I'm going Phoenix in 7. I think these are the 2 best teams in the West now.
I still think, even if Paul George isn't there, that they still have a shot.
I do, because they have all the depth. Phoenix has no depth.
Exactly.
Phoenix can't even fill out a full – who's a 5th starter? Josh Okogie or Torrey Craig?
Josh Okogie, yeah. Okogie is it. So it's like
they have the Clippers
depth.
Have 11 or 12 guys who'd be the 5th starter on Phoenix.
Exactly. So, like, I know it's Paul George, and he's an all-star, all-NBA type of player, but if Kawhi's healthy
–
we've seen him do it with him and a nice cast of guys around him. This is kind of be similar to that Toronto team.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they have Kevin Durant, they have Booker, Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix wins in 7.
I think it's gonna be a hell of a series. We talked about that Cleveland and Knicks series. I think Phoenix and Clippers would be
both 4 or 5 matchups should be on paper are the best matchups in both conferences.
I think Boston Miami might overtake.
But fire, I think, like points wise, like Phoenix and Clippers, they might just $120, $130 games. As we might see that enough. But Phoenix's depth does worry me because if we've seen Durant get hurt even in playoffs, so it's like if he's out now, that's a different Phoenix team we're talking about. So then the Clippers have a shot, but if he's healthy and all that, and Ayton, we're seeing a different Ayton and all that, and Booker is Booker, he's a stud. They have enough firepower to take the Clippers down.
So then number one, Denver, and number four, Phoenix.
Phoenix and five.
Five? Phoenix, I was going to say Phoenix. Five. Okay.
I think Phoenix and five. I think they just have too much firepower. And the defense of Denver has been too sleaky of late. And I think they would just pick and roll the heck out of Joker. And I think he can't handle that. And yeah, I know the there's some people who would defend like his defensive numbers and like now the analytics will say he's actually a plus defender, but it's like, no, in the playoffs, it's a different animal. He's going to get pick and roll like crazy. He's not going to be. And there's a crazy stat that he has like 45 kickball violations.
Yeah.
I was listening to Zach Lowe.
It was Zach Lowe. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, that's insane.
And second place is like 15 or 17.
It was like I don't know, Sengun or like 17 or someone like that. Someone of the that like 17. So it's like that against Athena. I think that's a bad matchup for.
After that stat came out, the Jokic kickball is when Embiid all of a sudden skyrocketed up MVP and became the favorite. So thank you, Zach Lowe, for that.
Yeah. So, I think that's a 5 gamer.
Okay. Then. Memphis would have home field advantage against Golden State. Now, this is interesting because everyone's saying, oh, that's a rivalry because there was bad blood. They played in the playoffs last year, but Golden State has shown their, you know, experience is going to win out. So does Memphis have the experience this year after, you know, second consecutive year as a 2 seed?
Steven, this is the passing of the torch.
Okay.
This is the passing of the torch.
They're not going to win one.
The Warriors can't win on the road, and they've beaten them down a few times this year. Mm-hmm. And you know, it seems like for a team that's so vet, they seem like they get a little irritated. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, and eventually, you know, sometimes like we've seen a little brother eventually gets over the top.
And I think Memphis would win in 7, which means they would win at home. So Golden State would have to win a road game in game 7. I don't think they would.
And if we're just going home, every team wins home. Well, game 7's at home in Memphis, and we've seen the Golden State Warriors can't win on the road. I think Memphis gets it done, and they beat Big Brother.
So then we have Phoenix and Memphis in the Western Conference Finals.
Phoenix and Memphis.
I think Phoenix wins. I just think talent's going to win out.
Phoenix is the better team, definitely. I think you have to go Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Have to go Phoenix. I just think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Memphis, you know, and that's something they got to figure out in the offseason. They got to get some extra depth, you know, and figure out who's going to be that other guy and all that. But, you know, I think it'll be a tough series and all that because, you know, Memphis does have some guys and all that. Obviously, Ja and Bane and Jaren Jackson is going to give, you know, be on KD. But I think Phoenix is on a mission. The owner was like the owner's first thing was like, go get me Kevin Durant. Like this is, you know, I think Phoenix gets it done and they head to the finals.
Yep, I say Phoenix in, I don't know, 6, I guess. It's not going to go 5. It's not going to go 7. It's definitely not a sweep. So by default, I think 6.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we both agree on the championship. Sixers and Phoenix. Sixers would have home court advantage. And I'm a season ticket holder of the Sixers. So I was telling my fiance about this the other day. I said, if we go to the finals and there's a game 7, like, tickets are going already for like $3,500 a piece just to get in. So I'm like, do I sell it? But how do I not go to game 7 of like,
I've always wondered with people like that, like, obviously, you know, like, and you're
seeing, I hope that's a problem that I run into. I pray that's a problem I run into.
And like, I always like wonder, like, you probably could get a lot of money for those tickets, but like, you might not ever, or maybe not for a long time, have a game 7 in the NBA Finals and be able to see that.
From your favorite team, yeah.
From your favorite team, too. Like, it's one thing if you weren't a fan, it's like, whatever, I'll sell it. But, like, it's my team. And, like, yeah, I could get a whole lot of money for these tickets. Well, but
that's my prediction, 6 and 7.
I could go and be in the building for game 7 and this would be a hell of a series. You know, how DeAndre Ayton handles Joel is going to be a big, maybe the biggest X factor in this series. Obviously, we know what Joel can do. And Suns and six.
Killing me. Okay.
Suns and six in KD's finals MVP.
So in your scenario, I would have the Eagles losing the Super Bowl, the Sixers losing the championship, and the Phillies losing the World Series all in the same year.
That's a heartbreak. Listen, listen, I'm a New Yorker, you Philly guy and all that. Like, nothing makes me happier than seeing Philly fans suffer, you know, especially I'm a Giants fan too. So like seeing the Eagles lose and all that. But this would be a fun series. Like I said, it's going to come down to Ayton and how he handles Joel. But I think it's tough to, you know, who's going to guard Kevin Durant? PJ Tucker, I'm sorry. Like, no, I don't think it's good. But
D'Anthony Melton, maybe. This is where you would miss Matisse Thybulle a lot.
This is where Thybulle would, like, if you could just have Thybulle for one series, and if you get to the finals, it's like Thybulle, boom. But obviously the Thybulle thing, you know, him obviously is shooting and all that, but this would be a perfect Thybulle series and all that. But okay. Suns and six and KD's finals MVP, and people are still going to complain that about KD, you know, winning a championship with, you know, other stars. But this is be huge for CP3 to win a championship. This changes a lot about how people, you know, perceive him and all that. So this would be huge and all that. But I think, yeah, I'm going to go Suns.
And same thing if the other side, if James Harden, you know, he wins.
This is huge.
Both of them.
He's, to me, he's, and I've talked about this, like, legacy type players. Like, if Harden wins this one and then he wins another one, I mean, we're talking about him maybe being one of the greatest guards ever. Yep. Like, this is huge. This would be a huge for both teams and a lot of Joel and all that. Like, just imagine an MVP and a championship and all that. Like, that changes out. He's a god in Philly. He'll be a god. And Harden too. Like, Harden would, like I said, can go down as one of the greatest guards of all time if he gets a chip. You know, people will forget about the Houston collapses and all that. Just but same thing for CP.
Yep.
CP, this changes. You be with him and Magic. People will be like, "Yo, it's him and Magic." That's it. Like, he passed Stockton. He passed a lot of these guards: Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. He'll pass those guys and be him and Magic. So, and KD, like, you got three. You know, and then book, like, this is a big legacy game for a lot of players and all that in this potential matchup. But I think
the executive side of it, Daryl Morey winning one would be exciting too. But
Daryl Morey, because he's
just wrote an article about that for the Sixer Sense on Fanside. So if you want to go check that out, but yeah, sorry, out. Had to self.
No, you got to plug. You got to plug. But, it's your show, bro.
Okay, yeah, that's exciting, and it's going to be a hell of a playoffs. I feel like it's wide open. There's a lot of, you know, not much disparity. I feel like 1 through 8, it could honestly go, especially in the West, a lot of different ways. So
it'd be an upset. It could be an 8-1 upset. It really could be, because you just, like, Denver has been leaky of late. The defense hasn't been good. And
if
they
have to do a Dallas or a Lakers or.
Yeah, if you got to play the Lakers, a motivated LeBron and AD, like, and especially with the roster, how it is now.
And they were playing better after the deadline before LeBron.
Yeah. Died. And then you got Austin Reeves dropping 30 a game and all that. Like, they got, you know, they got something there. Like, that's not a typical 8 seed that you want to play, you know, if you're, you know, and then Dallas too, they got firepower. That was like, how do you stop Luka and then Kyrie and all that? So, you know, you're going to have to come with it. So that there's a lot of intriguing matchups. I mean, the 4-5s in both conferences are fun. So yeah, it's going to be a fun playoffs. You know, hopefully our teams advance and it's not sad early, but you know, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of great matchups on both sides. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So Chris, where could everyone find your work?
Yeah. So you could follow me at Off the Ball Pod. That's where I'm most active and all that. You could follow the network I run, OTB_network on Twitter too, offtheballnetwork.com and all that. I do some stuff for Knicks Fan TV. I'm actually going to do the post game after this Magic game and all that. So you can check them out there. So yeah, man, I do a lot of NBA draft stuff too. A lot of draft stuff, covering the draft, love the draft. Been doing it for like the last, since 2020, getting into in-depth and all that. Just did a a podcast with Tyler Rucker from No Ceilings.
I had Tyler on earlier this year.
Yeah, Tyler's he's a cool dude. He's great and all that. Very informative and all that. One of the best. They got a great crew over there. So going to do a lot more draft stuff. You know, we're going to have a lot more guys on, you know, and talk more draft than us. But yeah, follow me off the ball pod. I talk any type of basketball. College, and I host a college basketball podcast, recruiting podcast with my guy Kevin Lucas called Get a Bucket Podcast. So you can check that out too.
Okay, then you guys could, you know, listen, rate and review Bird Rights, whoever you're listening to this, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. Mm-hmm. Again, whoever you're listening to this podcast, do the same for all the Off the Ball Network podcasts for Chris. And yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I will talk to you guys next episode.